got a lot tied up inside. So, hello and welcome to This Conversation Rocks. I'm Diane.
And I am Todd.
And I'm really not even sure what episode this is at this point.
18.
Wow.
Episode 18. All Trump episode. Trump did a Trump, 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 Trump.
Donald Trump makes me tired.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what he's counting on. He is counting on the fact that he makes us all really tired and we're not paying attention.
So he's kind of a bad work comp claim, because basically work comp hopes you're going to give up.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean, really what I want to talk about, though, is why is what happened to the Grand Ole Party that they have fallen so low as to have Donald Trump and Ben Carson vying for the nomination.
So you did say you wanted Section 1 to be what the fuck happened to the GOP. So this is as good an intro as any.
Yeah. So the Grand Ole Party, when I was a young whippersnapper.
AKA Gang of Perverts.
No, they were not a gang of perverts when I was a young whippersnapper, but that's who they've become. Yes. No, but right, they used to be the party of Nixon, right? And you can say whatever you want about Nixon and Watergate and everything, and I personally think the guy should have gone to jail for it. But that does not negate the fact that he was a serious president who accomplished serious things.
Well, and I think we both agree that Nixon would not be welcome in today's Republican Party.
Oh, fuck no, right? He's far too liberal.
Yep.
He's the guy who brought us OSHA. And for all the conspiracy nuts out there, he's the guy who got us off the gold standard.
God, conspiracy too. We got to work on that.
We do.
We keep saying that.
So the thing is, right, in the 80s, the Republicans courted the religious right. And we saw the rise of the religious right, specifically guys like Jerry Falwell, who then were later discredited for various and sundry shenanigans. I get them all confused. I think Falwell was the one with the hooker, and Oral Roberts was the one with the, if you don't give me $1 million to buy an airplane, God is going to call me to heaven.
I think you're right, but they are hard to keep straight. Ooh, but double entendre.
Right, yes, absolutely. But because of the affiliation with the religious right, the party itself starts to slip right, becomes more conservative.
And, you know, when I was looking at Donald Trump's positions, that sounds kind of yucky, too. I was looking at that website on theissues.org.
Yeah.
And he says that he evolved, quote unquote, on his positions, but he just tacks right on everything.
Exactly.
So that just really supports what you're saying about kind of what's happened in the GOP.
Right. Well, 1994, right? The Republican so-called Republican Revolution.
You mean the Contract on America?
Right. Yeah. Right. In which the great state of Alaska was the only state to actually elect a Democratic governor that year.
Crazy.
It was. It was a very weird election. But, so yeah, you're continuing to tack, right? You get Newt Gingrich. You get this wave of conservatives, small business owners, whose focus is on government sucks. Government sucks, government sucks. And they just keep playing that mantra. You're taxed too much. Government sucks. You know, they spend all your money on poor people. That was the cry at the time. Now I think it's more immigrants. But, you know, they just keep changing who to blame. And, you know, so yeah, that's how we get to where we're at, where you have a party, you have a Republican Party where the establishment Republicans are afraid of getting knocked off in a primary by a Tea Party guy. And not by a Democrat.
Right.
Yeah, so just kind of that's the history behind how we get to a point where now the lunatics are running the asylum and Donald Trump becomes a serious candidate.
Well, and so here's the other stuff that I was thinking about when you said what happened to the GOP. And I think we've referred to it over and over, but the whole idea of the clown car. I mean, counting tonight, you have 9 debates remaining. And one of the commentators who talked about the debates said, basically, they ruin any positive impressions through their own words and actions every time they get together and do these debates.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, yeah, it's kind of become this really weird beast in which anyone who has centrist values, I'm not even talking about liberal values, really can't survive their primary.
Correct. And because you can't survive a primary challenge, you're more willing to go along with the Republican House, so-called Freedom Caucus, which
we talked about last week, which is should be up in a couple of days.
Should be, yeah, but those guys are completely insane.
Yep. All the Tea Party guys.
So we get to a point where literally the Speaker of the House had to resign and then negotiate a budget deal, which I'll point out is the first real budget we've had in 5 years, but, you know, negotiates a budget deal with the Democrats, both in the House and the Senate, so that they can pass a budget bill to clear the way for a new speaker, who will be Ryan.
God, it sounds convoluted already.
Right. But, you know, it's just like, what the hell is wrong with you guys, right? Yeah. And what the hell is wrong with them is you're getting these small business guys who think the government is just out to fuck them.
Well, and so here's the other thing. Boehner has nothing to lose anymore, right? So now he can negotiate a budget and he doesn't have to worry about getting knocked off by the crazies.
Exactly. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
But this in no way means that the House is now going to fall in line. They're just going to not be able to screw up the budget for another year.
So,
the solution to the Republicans, if the Republicans want to be taken seriously, and, you know, I don't care if it is Trump or Carson or any of the other guys in the clown car who get the nomination, I don't see a point at which right now the Democrats just don't beat the shit out of them in the presidential election.
Well, we've had this conversation before. Never underestimate the stupidity of the American public.
Right, but I'm gonna the longer the, like you said about the debates and everything, the longer the clown car goes on, the larger the train wreck is.
Right.
The better the chances are that we're gonna have a Democrat.
So did you get a chance to watch the debate at all? Because I literally have been in my office with my really beautiful Blue Yeti microphone for the past couple of hours.
That sounds wrong.
That's another business entirely.
But no, I did not watch the debate.
Well, so the
I'll be honest, I don't.
Oh, go ahead.
I just don't watch the debates because nothing good comes from them.
Well, so the reason I ask is that they promised, and I was reading about the debate last night when I was prepping for this episode, that they would focus on substantive issues. So they said they would talk about job growth, taxes, technology, retirement, and the health of the economy. So I'm just wondering if there truly was any substantive discussion of these things. Because that's where the Democratic debate really, forgive the use of the word, trumped any of the Republican debates that we've seen so far, is that they actually talked about substance.
Right.
They weren't just picking on what you looked like in high school or how your face is ugly, you know?
Yeah, it's, well, here's the first review.
Excellent.
From the New York Times. And basically, testiness and sharpened jabs infuse the night as struggling candidates like Mr. Bush and Governor John Kasich of Ohio ripped into their less experienced rivals and tried to portray them as unqualified for the White House. The free-for-all of verbal assaults reflected the new volatility in a race that Trump has dominated for months. It appears to be shifting in favor of candidates like Rubio and Ben Carson.
So basically you're saying no substance.
Nothing here indicates that
that there was
anything other than just, you know, normal yelling and screaming at each other about how big a fucktard each of them are.
So,
and by the way, just because we're talking about speakers of the house, Dennis Hastert will be going to jail.
I know. So he actually, where did I put him? I can't remember if I put him in my, oh, by the way, also, I don't think I gave him the fuck that guy because I think I had something else for fuck that guy. But right. We'll get there. Yes, yes, Denny Hastert. That made me very happy.
So anyway, back to you know, how did the Republicans get to this point?
Well, so I did want to say real quick before we go there that we still have a kids' table. So banished to the kids' table tonight were Rick Santorum, Lindsey Graham, Bobby Jindal, and George Pataki. So
Pataki's running?
Pataki wow. is still in there. In fact,
I didn't even know he was running.
Okay, so I looked up who was out because I wanted to kind of figure this out. And this is from The Atlantic, and they actually did a cheat sheet to both parties. So you can Google Atlantic and cheat sheet and find it. And this is from like 5 days ago. So who's out on the Republican side? Rick Perry, Scott Walker, we knew that. Did you know that John Bolton actually declared?
That fucking moron?
So he declared, and then he retracted on Facebook. So he actually counts as someone who was in briefly and who is now out.
It's too bad he didn't even make it to the kids' table. He would have been great at the kids' table.
So just to remind people, in case they don't remember who John Bolton was, he was George W. Bush's UN ambassador for about 17 months.
During the run-up to the...
to the Iraq War.
Right, and he was rewarded for his good work by...
I'm sure some sort of Halliburton contract or something, but I really don't know.
By being appointed the head of the World Bank.
Oh, so money, just from a different source.
Right.
Awesome.
And he made such enemies at the World Bank that he was removed shortly thereafter.
So. That's pretty bad when some of the greediest fuckers on the planet kick you out.
Yeah.
So, numbers. So I looked tonight and, I looked last night, and I think the numbers have shifted a little bit, but last night Trump was at 32.5, Carson was at 22.6, and everyone else still in the Klan car under 10%.
Right.
And now I think that they're showing that Ben Carson is starting to edge Trump out a little bit.
Well, in some of the polls, but, you know, I don't think we're close to knowing how that's going to come up, how that's all going to go down. But, you know, the thing is, so, yeah, we've kind of covered how we got to where we're at. So what the hell is wrong with Trump?
Well, so before we talk about what the hell is wrong with Trump, I do want to talk a little bit more about where we're at, just because I want to hold forth. I want to hold forth in church tonight about Ben Carson, because he just freaked me out. I thought there was a super good point that the two front runners have never held any kind of elected office. That doesn't necessarily make them bad people, but I think it speaks to a certain level of inexperience. And I feel like both of them are really taking advantage of fear and conspiracy and just the overall, forgive me, white male disgruntlement in the U.S. right now. So. Yeah. Which is interesting because Carson is so not a white male, but so just a little bit about Carson, some of his finer points. So he has compared the Democratic Party to Nazis. He says that the U.S. is basically the second coming of the Third Reich, as the way that we're headed right now. I am not kidding you.
What?
He says that Democratic policies are paving the pathway for the next Hitler, and that Planned Parenthood is basically a population control plan for black neighborhoods.
Oh, we all knew that, though.
Well, yeah, I know. Planned Parenthood is bad. He also said that the Nazis loved Margaret Sanger. She's the person who formulated and created the first birth control pill. And he said that the devil possessed Darwin to create the theory of evolution. And here's your capper. By reading Mein Kampf, Hitler's book, you will find out the truth about Barack Obama. Total silence. So I've got to tell you, I loathed George W. Bush. I hated him so much. I never played the Hitler card.
No, because you can't. Because unless you're wiping out 6 million people for just being
people,
you can't play the Hitler card. And it's one thing I think people have totally forgotten. You know, Hitler was Hitler.
You know, I had somebody play the Hitler card on my Facebook page the other day, and I was like, really? Really? You're going there, you're playing the Hitler card? Unbelievable. Yeah, well,
I mean, and I'm not going to totally put this on, like, Seinfeld, but, you know, it does kind of go back to that whole thing about the soup Nazi. You know, and, you know, people started not taking that very seriously after a while, right? And you see the terms now, Nazi and Hitler and stuff, thrown around all the time. And it's like, these are not things that we should... The president of the United States is not Adolf Hitler.
Right.
It just, I mean, there's nothing else to say to it.
And right? I've got to tell you, as someone who shares an office with two people who are Jewish, it so offends me to even be having this part of our conversation. It's really gross. I mean, how could we possibly pull that card?
Yeah, well. And this is the thing. Ben Carson is he's in the passenger seat. He's riding shotgun in the clown car. But the airbag's about to go off in his face. So.
Oh, please God. So, you know, I don't usually pull the race card, but I immediately thought that fucker's an Uncle Tom. And then I also, and I've said this to people multiple times, he is proof positive that you can be a good pediatric neurosurgeon and still be a dumb asshole.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because clearly, I mean, he spent all this time being a good pediatric neurosurgeon, which actually takes a lot of effort.
Sounds like he was fairly respected.
Right, but yeah, I mean, he brings a third grade mentality to the world and with his worldview. And it's just like, look, you know, you're just repeating what your parents said. It's pretty clear. So go away.
So I want to.
But there, here's the thing.
Go.
Ben Carson is popular right now because he hasn't quite gotten enough in the press for all this stuff to really start coming out and hammering him.
Right.
Right. But it's going to. It's just around the corner. Then he'll go away. Because the thing to remember is last time around, every idiot was in the lead at some point, except for Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney was never in the lead.
Oh my God! So who's at the bottom of the list? Does that mean we're going to get that person?
Well, you know, that's what Rubio—that's what Rubio and Bush are playing for, right? Is the fact that these other two idiots are going to flame out.
So I want to do two other things about how the GOP got where it was before we get to Trump.
Sure.
So one is that I want to define for our listeners, and hopefully somebody out there will help the people who aren't listening understand this. I'm seeing national socialism and democratic socialism thrown around in the same breath, and people don't understand what those mean. So I thought, I'm going to look those up and just give people a real definition. So the definition of national socialism is, first and foremost, the political doctrine of the Nazi Party. So people who say that Bernie Sanders is a national socialist are wrong on so many levels, especially because he's Jewish.
Calling the Jew a Nazi, that's pretty good. I like that. Okay.
And then the other definition for national socialism was, more properly, ethnocentric fascism.
Right.
So I thought that was a really good definition. And then democratic socialism, which is what Bernie Sanders ascribes to, is a democratic political system alongside socialist economics. So basically what that means is that there's a multi-party democracy, which I think most of us agree is healthy. Most of us would like to see more than two parties. And the means of production in a democratic socialist state is controlled by the government. Or not even controlled by the government. It's socially owned. It's owned by the people.
Right, so,
So it's a democracy with social ownership of the means of production.
Which, you know, to some degree is exactly what all the Western democracies are.
Right. Except us, kind of.
Well, we're
trying.
I mean, truthfully, there's a lot of things that are still are owned by the people. You know, most utilities and things like that. our education system, for better or worse.
Our road system. We've talked about this before. Garbage, electric.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this, yeah, socialism is just something that we've been doing for a long time, and people shouldn't be, people should not be confused.
Yeah, and so I just kind of wanted to gently remind people that National Socialism and Democratic Socialism are two very, very different things.
Yeah, well.
And so then the one more thing about how the Republican Party got where it was, and this was actually shared by James, our beloved editor. This was on the front page of the Washington Post. Republicans are on the verge of ceasing to function as a national party. And basically, there was an article that the Alaska Dispatch published that was from the Washington Post saying that embracing Sarah Palin in 2008 is the thing that really brought the GOP to a new low.
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely. I'll let you guys own that.
Well, you know, and the thing is that the editor who wrote this article that was then published in the Alaska Dispatch basically said that she made it okay for people to be incompetent and unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which actually it wasn't, in fairness, it wasn't her. It was Bush Jr. that did that. She just put a much better face on it.
Right. But she preceded him. No, I'm lying. She didn't precede him. You're right. I'm getting my timing wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah,
I mean, you know, unfortunately, Junior made it okay to be a president that I want to have a beer with instead of a president who can actually fucking figure out how to deal with some of this shit.
Right.
You know.
As Sarah was just Junior in high heels, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
With good lipstick.
And you know why the white male Republican, you know, rallied behind her, right?
Dare I say, oh fuck yeah?
Yeah. It's the same thing. It's the same reason that, like, they think Ann Coulter is worth listening to.
Right. I've never figured out how Bill Maher can be friends with her.
That. Mars, I don't even
strange bedfellows.
I don't even want to talk about Mar. I don't ever want to talk about Mar.
So
fuck that guy.
So my question is, do you feel like we've pretty much summed up how we got where we got?
Yeah. So let's talk about Donald.
Okay. So the trouble with Trump. This is section two.
Yeah. So I mean, the trouble with Trump. Let's just start off with, and Mexico is going to pay for the wall.
Because that's going to work.
Yeah, well, a spokesman for Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto said that this claim illustrates Trump's ignorance of foreign policy. Of course it's false, Eduardo Sanchez said. It reflects an enormous ignorance of what Mexico represents and also the irresponsibility of the candidate who's saying it. Absolutely, they're not going to pay for the wall. Get over it. You can't force them to pay for the wall.
I don't know.
In Mexico, and by the way, a border wall will cost about $2.4 billion to build, not including the $6.5 billion it will cost to maintain it over 20 years, according to the Department of Homeland Security. And by the way, if all it's going to do is cost $2.4 billion to build the damn thing, and we haven't built it, the truth of the matter is
nobody
really actually wants to.
Well, you know,
it's much better to have a porous border so that you can yell immigrant than to actually, you know, if you really believe immigrants are the problem, then here's an easy one. $2.4 billion is a drop in a bucket.
Well, and you know, that's it for me again. And the big trouble with Trump is that he just appeals to everything that is completely base about us. Racism, xenophobia, fear, hate. I just, ugh.
And Donald Trump, I never filed for bankruptcy. This is technically true, of course, but four of his corporations have.
Exactly.
You know, and they do it because they can. And I do believe, although I don't have it in front of me, but I do believe that Trump, of course, is against being able to file personal bankruptcy just because, you know, you're a bum, right? You've put yourself in that situation. You're not responsible.
Well, and I find it very interesting. Didn't he attack Carly Fiorina in one of the debates for her handling of HP?
Well, he probably should have.
Well, he should have, but isn't that kind of the cauldron calling the kettle black?
Yeah. Well, okay, so it's not... Actually, I'm not entirely sure that it is. Carly just about fucking destroyed HP. And while Trump has declared, had four of his corps go bankrupt, you know, that's all just part of the strategy. And what she did at HP, the only strategy it served was giving her a $18 million golden parachute.
That's just disgusting.
Right, so yeah, you'll never get me to say anything nice about Carly.
She's under 10% anyway.
So she's moving down. She had her moment. The Republican men looked at her and went, nah, don't want to.
She's no Sarah Palin.
Right.
So
God, we're so going to hell for this stuff.
Yeah, we are. It's okay. And I think we totally lost Mark, but oh well.
Yeah.
Hi, Mark. Bye, Mark. Nice to know you. So I looked.
Sorry, Mark.
I looked him up on theissues.org. And like I said, I mean, he pretty much, it's so interesting when you look at his quote unquote evolution on issues. He kind of starts out saying, oh, you know, people right. shouldn't be judged for their sexuality. And now he's saying, oh, well, marriage equality is a states' rights issue, which, of course, we've already talked about. And it's the law of the land now. It's not a states' rights issue any longer. He started out pro-choice, and he says that he, quote unquote, evolved on abortion after years of being pro-choice. So now he pretty much is against abortion, but he does, thank goodness for us ladies, make exceptions in the cases of rape, incest, and threat to the health of the mother.
Right.
So, you know, he's just kind of gone from being a little bit of a pig to a real pig.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he says evolved, I say devolved. So.
Right.
So what else do you want to say about Trump? I know that Section 3 was kind of anything else related to Trump. I know that James wanted us to bring up the whole imagery of Trump as Biff in the Back to the Future movies.
Which is hilarious, but I gotta say, that can't possibly be the best that we got against this guy.
No, but you know what? I actually read something really funny, and I don't know how accurate IMDb is, but there was a little thing on IMDb today that said that Biff actually was loosely based on Donald Trump when they wrote that character.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, they point out some of the similarities, and it's super funny. So they both owned very opulent casinos. They both actually had a casino with the same name, Pleasure Paradise. They're both on their third marriages by the time we meet Biff as an adult. And they both look alike and live in palaces painted gold. So, I mean, I just thought those were kind of funny.
Right, yeah, I mean,
it's definitely not the worst thing we've got on this guy, but it's a funny mental image. It's kind of like Ted Cruz and Robin Williams as Barbra Streisand. You just can't unsee it once you see it.
It's true. It's very true.
So, go ahead.
You know, and of course, just a week ago, Trump came out with a statement that he heard that President Obama is thinking about signing an executive order where he wants to take your guns away.
Claiming that he
read it in the papers. Of course, none of the major newspapers in the country had reported that.
What was that meme that I found? Something like day 8,332 or whatever, still not coming for your guns. I mean,
right.
You know, some other things that are kind of offensive about Trump. So he wants to seriously defund the Department of Education. Not sure where that comes from.
Because all conservatives want to defund the Department of Education, and their argument is that it's not necessary. It's this whole department that nobody seems to know what they do. It's because nobody ever looks. But
so, you know, my whole argument is keep us fat, tired, and stupid, and absolutely you can control us. So that sounds like a good reason to defund the Department of Education to me.
Right.
What else? Oh, go ahead.
Donald Trump says that the unemployment rate may actually be 42%.
You have got to be kidding me.
No. Even though the official rate is currently 5.1.
Right.
During September 28th, 2015 media event, Trump described an unemployment rate in the range of 5% as such a phony number. That number isn't reflective, he said. I've seen numbers of 24%. I actually saw a number of 42%. He continued, 5.3% unemployment is the biggest joke there is in this country. The unemployment rate is probably 20%, but I will tell you, you have some great economists who will tell you it's 30, 32, and the highest I've heard is 42%. Okay, motherfucker, 4 out of 10 people are not on the streets. I mean, anybody can fucking look at that, right?
I just can't see how this guy keeps stacking town halls. I just don't get it.
Because he appeals to people who are...
Because he appeals to the basest human nature.
Right.
Yeah.
When asked for the source of the 42% figure, the Trump campaign did not respond.
So talk to me about the burqa thing, because I've seen that, and I honestly have not read any of it. But apparently he came out saying that maybe burqas for women aren't a bad idea after all.
Yeah. I don't know what he was talking about there either. But hey, hang on. We'll find out.
The power of the internet. You know, I mean, here's the other thing that bothers me. And this bothers me about what I'm hearing from the bulk of the GOP is that the bulk of the candidates who are running, let me be fair, there's so much hatred for women and so much interest in controlling women. In all ways, I mean, controlling our fertility, controlling our roles in government, controlling our social roles. It's really shocking. I shouldn't be shocked, but it is shocking.
Absolutely. So what he said was on the 26th, if you're a woman, it's easy. Well, somebody's paraphrasing it here, but.
Okay.
If you're a woman, it's actually easier to wear a burqa because then you don't have to put on makeup.
Because that really makes a difference in my credibility.
Yeah, for example, he said some Muslim women want to wear the veil, which is, you know, true. And that it's easier anyway because they don't all have to worry about makeup.
Wow. This from the king of the comb-over.
The
rampant misogyny in a statement like that, that somehow a woman is nothing more than the makeup that she puts on her face or the veil she puts over her face.
Right. But you know, I want to go back actually to the 42% for a second.
Yeah, go for it.
Because the thing is that when you start saying things like that, this just, not only is it insane, but it's, you know, it's harmful.
Right.
You know, the economy is what it is. You know, Jesus Christ, what are you trying to do? You know,
well, and he's obviously trying to build his case against Barack Obama so that he gets what he wants.
Yeah. So, okay. And so then last quarter, it was just announced. Our GDP, according to Trump, the last quarter, it was just announced, our gross domestic product, a sign of strength, right? No, not for us. It was below zero. Whoever heard of this? It's never below zero. Okay, for starters, and this is all from PolitiFact. Surprisingly, almost everything covered on PolitiFact for Trump is under the category of liar, liar, pants, liar, liar. But anyway, he didn't phrase this correctly. He said that our gross domestic product was below zero. Real gross domestic product was in the trillions of dollars, not anywhere close to zero. He meant growth in GDP. But even phrased appropriately, this claim is wrong. And Trump's staff did not return inquiries for PolitiFact. The real annualized change in gross domestic product during the first quarter of 2015 was, in fact, negative. It fell by 0.7%. But not below zero. Negative GDP growth. In other words, GDP shrinkage from quarter to quarter is one of the hallmarks of recession. And there have been lots of recessions over the years, 11 since World War II.
But he says we're going to, quote, make America great again and survive the Great Recession. Those are right, two of these big...
But we actually haven't been in a recession as defined by two negative quarters since 2009. And yeah, we had one quarter of negative growth in 2011, one in 2014, and one in 2015. And, you know, it's also worth noting that these numbers do get revised as time goes on. But anyway,
I just, you know, I kind
of
feel like
So, and here's the ultimate statement, though. Of the 42 quarters of negative growth since World War II, 30 occurred under Republican presidents.
There you go.
Just saying, guys. So he's out there selling this outlandishly bad bullshit. And the thing is that the people buying it are the people who are unemployed or underemployed, people who the economy's changed on them. And, you know, we're not unsympathetic to that problem, you know, but I'm telling you guys, this is bullshit. If you think that this clown is somehow going to restore you to where you were at pre-2006.
Well, and this goes back to what you and I have talked about again and again, which is that people are voting against their own self-interests.
They are, because they don't understand that somebody like Trump absolutely has no interest in you, poor person.
Right.
Nothing. You know, he wants your vote.
Yeah, you know, I wish I was more educated. I mean, I kind of do and I kind of don't. I don't think he's worth a lot of my intellectual time, but I wish I knew more about Donald Trump than I do, just because I think he's so scary. And I'll be honest, I didn't prep as well as I wanted to for this podcast.
Because you were dealing with zombies. Because
I was dealing with zombies. But I do want to say a couple other things about Trump. I do think that, and this goes back to his xenophobia and his ignorance, he doesn't even know how to respond to his supporters who say things like, Barack Obama's a Muslim and Muslims are our big problem. I mean, even John McCain handled that better.
Right, but arguably McCain then went on to lose the election, and Trump is not going to repeat that mistake.
Right, but oh my God, if he ends up being our president with those kinds of beliefs, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I mean, I'll survive just like I survived every other rotten presidency, but, you know. I also thought it was interesting. I found a quote from him on the that informational website, and I just can't push it enough because it really is actually quite fair and looks at everybody on theissues.org. He actually said, political correctness is the country's problem, not my problem.
But I'm sorry, since when are we politically correct?
Well, and the other thing is, do we really want someone representing us on the national stage who would say something like that? I mean, I'm not saying we have to be politically correct at all times, but you have to be at least tactful. I mean, it's kind of like saying, tact is the country's problem, not my problem.
Yeah.
I don't know. He frightens me because right now, you're right, he's driving the clown car. And I think he and Ben Carson are fighting for the wheel, but they're both equally scary. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of tonight's debate, if Rubio or Bush actually landed any punches that were meaningful.
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. So you're ready to move off of him?
No, you know, I'm just kind of thinking out loud, but the other thing I'm thinking is, people don't want those candidates to land meaningful punches. People want the red meat.
Oh, yeah, the people watching the Republican, you know, the Republican debates are, first of all, I don't consider the people who are watching them to probably be all that serious. I could be wrong. So, you know, if you are, in fact, listening to this podcast and watching the Republican debate, then you are probably a serious person, and you can send your hate mail to Kara Brian Williams, because he's now back at MSNBC.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. I just, you know, I do think that there's going to be a lot more to come from the GOP and a lot more to come from this conversation. Maybe not necessarily about Trump, but I think we're just going to have a lot more to talk about over the next, what, 12 months? Yeah. Oh, God. I know. Did I just make your stomach kind of, did I make you throw up a little in your mouth when I said that?
So you know what we're going to do, right? We're going to do, I think we need to do an all Ben Carson conspiracy issue.
Oh man. Okay. You're going to have to give me more time to prep for that.
Where all we're going to do is talk about every conspiracy that comes out of his mouth.
Well, I really like the devil, like, possessed Darwin and made him write the evolution, the theory of evolution.
That's awesome.
That's definitely one of my favorites. I'm going to have to get a t-shirt that says that or something.
Well, here's one for you, though, right? In the class of 1968 at Patrice Lumbata University in Moscow, Mahmoud Abbas, Mahmoud Abbas, was one of the members.
He was one of the hijackers, class. Right?
No. He's the head of
Palestine. Sorry. Oh, my God. I feel so stupid.
Yeah. And so was Ali Khamenei. And that's where they first established relationships with the young Vladimir Putin.
Oh, dear God. Right,
so, needless to say, this turns out to not be real true.
Oh, man.
So, PolitiFact, right?
Right.
They're ruling. This is one of the more bizarre claims we've heard so far in the 2016 presidential campaign, and that's saying something. Abbas may have attended the university, though, but we don't know that for sure or when. No credible evidence has yet surfaced to place Khamenei as a student in the Soviet Union ever, much less in close proximity to Abbas, or in 1968. And Putin would have been a teenager in 1968, attending school 450 miles away. The idea that the three men developed lifelong ties as students in the late 60s in the Soviet Union is ridiculous.
Wow.
Shortly after our fact check appeared, the Christian Broadcast Network News posted an article about Carson's appearance on the CBN show 700 Club. It reported that when Carson was asked for the source of the Abbas Khamenei Putin claim, in a follow-up interview with CBN, and again, it's the Christian Broadcast Network, Dr. Carson would not disclose his sources but told CBN News he learned about the ties between the three leaders from advisors across the government, including the CIA.
Because every pediatric neurosurgeon has ties to the CIA.
This clashes with the earlier suggestion by Carson's press staff that the evidence for the claim could be found by Googling. For the record, we have found at least three additional instances beyond the CBN interview in which Carson made virtually the identical claims at a fundraiser in Des Moines, Iowa, to Newsmax TV, and at a speech to the National Press Club. So, I mean, you know, the thing with Carson, and the thing that'll happen to Trump, too, is that these outrageous claims, at a certain point, the press will get around to actually going to PolitiFact and looking them up.
But the problem is once they're out there, you know, you have to convince people that it's bullshit.
Yeah, see, I think the moderate wing of the Republican Party is just keeping their head down going, fuck, what do we do?
I hope you're right. I really do hope you're right.
They're not gonna vote, or they're gonna vote for the Dem.
Yeah, you know, one of my friends
We're gonna be talking about Sanders Republicans.
I'm already talking about Sanders Republicans, ma'am. They are out there, and they actually really surprise me every time they parrot something Bernie has to say, because then they're the same people who are pulling the Hitler card.
No. I'm talking about they're going to vote for him, just like they're with the Reagan Democrats.
Yeah.
So, well, anyway.
I hope you're right.
I guarantee it.
So.
Because that matters.
Fuck that guy?
Fuck that guy.
Ben Carson. So, you know, I know we were supposed to agree on fuck that guy, and I didn't talk to you before fuck that guy. So right. I have another fuck that guy.
Okay.
Except it's fuck that gal.
Okay.
So hang on, I gotta minimize the GarageBand so I can talk about this.
Oh, by the way, while you're working on that, here's a rundown of Trump's statements and the rulings. True, zero. Mostly true, 5, which is 8%. Half true, 10, which is 17%. Mostly false, 6, that's 10%. False, 27. That represents 46%.
Wow.
And Pants on Fire, 11, representing the remaining 19%.
Okay, so for the Ben Carson episode, you're going to have to look up those numbers for Ben Carson.
All over it.
Unless he's out of the race by then.
No, you know, that's the best thing, right? It's like, I don't think that this guy...
Is going anywhere.
I mean, that's what I really like about this guy.
So I've got another thing about him that I think is kind of interesting, and we'll have to explore it on the All Ben episode. So he's a Seventh-day Adventist, and apparently some of the other right-wing Christians are picking on him because they don't like his particular brand of Christianity.
That's right, including Donald Trump.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. Okay, so my Fuck That Gal is a woman named Monica Miller. She's director of a group called Citizens for a Pro-Life Society.
Oh, right, yeah, right. You introduced her on our Facebook page today.
Yeah, so she basically says that abortion is a secondary concern, and what they really want to do is stop women from having sex for pleasure. So I would just like to say, fuck her, because we all deserve healthy sex lives, and we all deserve pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, I just don't know what to say other than that. I mean, I'm so completely disgusted that this woman would actually come out and admit that her chief goal really is to not stop abortion, which I have issues with that. But her chief goal is to make sure that women can't have sex for pleasure. Fuck her.
Yeah. It does occur to me, we do have this listed on iTunes as explicit, right?
We do, yes, we definitely do. And I'm getting all of my cussing out of the way in this podcast.
Because you're a nice girl on the other one, I love it.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm a nice girl, but I'm not allowed to cuss as much. So you got an oh, by the way?
I don't know. Kind of Trump.
And you know, so I actually did put Dennis Hastert in my oh, by the way.
That's right, yeah. Fuck that guy, too. Wait, yeah. No, sorry. That's...
Sometimes the oh, by the way and the fuck that guy just kind of blend together. But yeah. I just want to bring people up to speed in case they don't know what Dennis Hastert did. So he agreed to pay $3.5 million to someone who is only identified as Individual A to hide some sort of misconduct. And he was also...
gay sex.
He was also accused of...
Gay sex.
Right? Which is only misconduct if you're a homophobe. But...
Exactly, if you're a Republican homophobe.
But he also was convicted of lying to the FBI about this hush money.
Right.
So, and yes, there
and
are...
That's what he was going to jail for.
Right.
Is... lying to the FBI and violation of banking law.
Right. And there is definitely rumor that this is sexual in nature, that his misconduct...
And underage.
Oh, lovely.
And,
charming.
You know, teenage boy.
But since it was not a woman having sexual pleasure, it's okay. So I would like to point out to people who don't remember that Dennis Hastert, at one point in his political career... was second in line of succession to the presidency as Speaker of the House.
He was not the guy that got torpedoed by Larry Flint. He replaced the guy who got torpedoed.
Yeah, I don't think there's a relationship between him and Larry Flint, although I'd have to look. He was part of the whole Contract on America.
Right.
So... but yeah, just the fact that this guy was two heartbeats away from the presidency, and now is going to jail for underage misconduct.
So awesome.
I just think it's an interesting oh, by the way.
I completely agree with you.
So my other oh, by the way, which you've been razzing me about all night... for those of you who don't know, and I can't imagine that anyone doesn't know because I've been trumpeting it for the last week, I was offered the co-host gig on Biters, which is a Walking Dead podcast. So this is actually my second podcast of the night if I sound a little rummy. So I'm learning about GarageBand, courtesy of Biters.
Were you supposed to do that last night, though? Because yeah. I thought that's why we couldn't record on Tuesday night, was because...
So remember the whole learning about GarageBand part?
That took all of Tuesday night?
So what happened last night was I opened everything up and I was like, oh shit, none of my settings saved. So I kind of messed around and then Kirk was like, don't worry about it, we can podcast tomorrow night. So Rob, who is the owner of Southgate Media, who hosts Biters, was like, don't worry about it, we'll figure it out tomorrow. So I basically spent half of my lunch hour with him today, like going through GarageBand and taking screenshots of all of the different settings so I could set it up properly. But now we actually have it working and we're using it and Biters is using it. So it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this one turns out.
But so I would like to invite people to show some love to both of our podcasts. I really want us to get this Conversation Rocks back on an even keel, and I think we are. And I'm really excited about being able to talk about The Walking Dead, because you know I'm a freak for The Walking Dead.
And so when is your sex podcast going to start?
Well, the sex business has to get up and running first. So I still only have one party booked, and that's in... toward the end of November. So I'm really trying to convince my friends, family, whoever is breathing and listening, that they need to book a pure romance party with me, because I'd really like to be the purveyor of some adult Tupperware, as it were.
Outstanding.
So I'm, you know, I'm just kind of trying to broaden my non-work time. You know, trying to find that work-life balance, because let me tell you, the work balance ain't so hot right now.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, so things are kind of looking up. The podcasts are up and running. I'm having a great time talking with you. I emailed to you last night or texted to you last night. I felt like the last podcast that we put up was really valuable. It was really good information. I'm really happy with what we're doing.
Good.
I don't care if one person downloads it. I am really happy with what we're doing.
Yeah, I'm having fun with it and everything. It just, like everything, takes a lot of time and energy. Yeah.
And I'm just really hoping that, you know, again, taking some of the tech off of your lap is going to make it a little easier for you.
I don't know how it can't.
So, you know, that's good. Podcasting is good. I need to get back to my blog. We have now spent 2 weeks in our new house, which is just awesome. And the horses should be coming home this weekend.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. So I have to say that personally, things are really looking up. Professionally, I'm kind of stalled out, but I'm trying to get my shit together.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. It's mostly the head injury. I'm just still really struggling with some of the sequela from the head injury. So, I know.
Well.
So, you got anything else?
No, anything. Episode 18, the old Trump episode.
So, I have a Neil Gaiman quote to take us out on.
Can you possibly have a Neil Gaiman quote related to Donald Trump?
Well, it's not so much, but do you have a Neil Gaiman quote related to Donald Trump?
No.
Okay.
Such a thing could not possibly exist.
So I do want to share a little aside, and you'll hear this if you ever listen to Biters. Kirk and I were talking about American Gods tonight, and he said that he's about halfway through it and he's kind of having a hard time finishing it. And I said, trust me, the payoff is worth it. Stick with it. So if any of our listeners out there haven't read American Gods, it's worth it. The payoff is worth it. And for what it's worth, Kirk is a huge Sandman fan. I mean, with his comic book background and with the comic book that he and Jeff do, he's totally a huge Sandman fan. And I don't know if you heard this. I know I'm totally delaying, but it sounds like Cinemax may have opted for American Gods.
I've heard that rumor before, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so Kirk was saying that tonight. That's one of the reasons that a friend recommended the book to him.
Man. Yeah, so, I've heard that, but... I don't know that I've heard anything since hearing that.
You know, not to blur the podcast, but man, talk about golden age of television. If that's true, wow.
Well, I won't complain, but...
Yeah. Hopefully they'll do it justice, right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right, is that but, hold my breath.
You know, so far so good. I mean, there have been some really amazing things on television, so I think that we have a chance if they opt for it that it might actually turn out to be really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely, but remains to be seen.
Yeah. I'm going to hold out hope. Okay, so our Neil Gaiman quote is from Neil Gaiman's Midnight Days. And I actually picked this quote just because it's been kind of a rough week for me professionally. So this is a totally selfish quote. So when we hold each other in the darkness, it doesn't make the darkness go away. The bad things are still out there. The nightmare is still waking. When we hold each other, we feel not safe, but better. It's all right, we whisper. I'm here. I love you. And we lie. I'll never leave you. But just for a moment or two, the darkness doesn't seem so bad. Okay. So, and you know,
apparently dedicated to my ex-wife.
No. I mean, I think like when he talks about the we lie and we say I'll never leave you, I think what he's really talking about is we lie and say I'll never leave you, and then we are inevitably separated. But the real take home of that is that we hold each other, we comfort each other, and for at least a little while, the darkness of life is not so bad. Yep. That's the message.
Yep.
So.
All right, be well out there.
All right, on that safe. Note, be safe, be well, hang on to somebody and reassure them that the darkness isn't so bad.
It's not.
All right, have a good night.
You too.
Trump takes the stage, says let's build a wall. The Mexicans are coming and they're gonna rape us all. Trump's a real hero, unlike John McCain. The dollar never once got shot down in a plane. He's Trump, what's on his head? He's Trump, it's real, he said. Trump doesn't know the meaning of contrition, but knows eminent domain and given to the Clintons. If you cross him, he'll bomb you to hell. Unless you're Lindsey Graham, then he's giving out your cell. He's Trump, doubts Obama's birth. He's Trump, he's Poland first. Is Donald Trump trolling us all? I think so. Is his campaign one really long joke?